welcome back to a new episode of Sassy Single Mums. Hey everyone, my name is Winnie and I'm the host of the Sassy Mums podcast. I launched the show with one aim, and that was just to share the authentic, real, original stories of single mothers who are challenging the status quo and tackling parenting with sass. However, on today's show, for the first time ever, we're speaking to a dad, and the whole aim is that it's Father's Day on Sunday and we really want to celebrate dads. You know, at the end of the day, I think every mother has had their own kind of relationship with the fathers of their children, but they are still a very important piece of the puzzle. So I've brought along a dad who is separated from the mum but still actively involved in his daughter's life, Olivia, who's 10 years old. So we're going to hear a little bit more from Jay and what his experience has been like.
Hi Jay, how's it going? Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. This is the first episode that we're doing with a guy, a father. So it's really nice to have you here. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Yeah, I think this is going to be a good time just chatting about whatever, really.
Are you nervous?
No, not particularly. Should I be?
No, don't be, but I am going to ask you a lot of questions. I guess you are now speaking for a lot of men, you know, for a lot of fathers, because I'm sure there's some women out there who try to figure out, why did he leave? Why are we not together? You know, how much impact does this have on raising my child without the dad being there? So, you know, I think, I'm not saying that you're going to speak for every dad, but I think it would be great for you to obviously run us through some of those things. So,
yeah, exactly. Are you ready? I'm ready. Yeah, I was just going to say, I could speak about my experiences, but
That's okay. All we want to know about your experiences. So obviously we'll start off with Olivia. So she is your daughter. Can you tell us more about, you know, what it's been like for you the last couple of years raising Olivia? You know, how old is she? What's your relationship like with her at the moment, her mom? Yeah. Just, you know, the ins and outs.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, she's 10 now, so she'll be 11 in August. And I would say my experience so far has been quite straightforward. It's quite easy, funny enough, but I reckon that's basically down to my... I haven't had any real problems. Like, the relationship with my ex is fine. It could be better at times. It's getting better, but we haven't had any...
You just said Olivia's mum is your ex.
So we broke up when Olivia was five or six. It was quite young. We just weren't working. We weren't working now. I've changed so much, you know, and she hasn't, but, you know, we started to grow apart. we quickly became two very different people.
What were some of those early signs that you were growing apart and the relationship was drifting?
To be honest with you, I was still quite young myself. So, you know, I would have been 27 when she was five. So, when we broke up. So it was still very early to answer your question in short, I'd say there weren't really signs that I know of or I could sort of call out. It was just more to do with where I was in my life. You know, I was, you know, trying to progress in my career. I was trying to do lots of different things, whereas she was very comfortable just being or doing the very minimum, right? In my eyes, that's how I saw it, right? And so we grew apart in that sense, and then we started to have very different goals for Olivia, you know, whereas I'm all about, you know, I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to, even like as a family, not by myself, you know, I wanted to do all these things.
Yeah, what were some of those kind of goals that you put in place?
I remember us having lots of like conversations where we just wouldn't see eye to eye, you know, even something as small as trying to open an investment account for her for when she gets a little bit older. She was against that. And I know some people are against it because some people
she was against well. Opening an investment account, or you guys could
agree she was just against it in general. I wouldn't say she's old school, but the way she sees certain things is very different to how I saw it, right? So, like, Like financially, I was always the one that was like, let's try and plan things out. Let's try and get things sorted. Let's have, well, I wanted Olivia to experience more things. So I was just like, you know, let's have more family holidays and more stuff like this and more like that. And then, you know, she wasn't really keen on some of the ideas. And I just think,
what do you think some of those changes were caused by? Because I can completely relate. I think, you know, me as well with Ty's dad, I think I got to a point where I was like, we're just different. You know, I have different goals. I have different ambitions. You have different aspirations.
Yes.
And so I guess for me, one of the big signs was like, you know, when we both kind of finished secondary school and I wanted to go to college and I wanted to go to uni and he wasn't as bothered, you know, it wasn't really something that he was aspiring to. So those are kind of like the first early stage differences. How can you say that translated in your relationship?
It's such a long time ago. It's hard to, I'm only thinking about the obvious ones. Yeah, I'm thinking about the obvious ones. But I would say the main key drivers would have been just like a breakdown in communication. I think because I stopped speaking to her about a lot of things, when I did speak to her about certain things, it's like we're on two complete different wavelengths, maybe because I wouldn't go into as much details about things. I wouldn't give her like my long-term goals. I would just basically say what I'm doing with her, you know. So it was definitely, I can't pin it all down to her because, you know, it definitely wasn't all her. A lot of it would have been me. Yeah, and also I think the main thing is just that we just, when you start to grow apart from someone and you're sort of not mature enough to see that, you know, a wise person would sort of work together. Whereas in my mind and in her mind, we probably both had already checked out. You know what I mean? So it got to a point where neither of us probably saw the benefit in working together to make things work, which is a shame when you think about it, because obviously as at the end, but I think so many people would have experienced the same thing.
I just want to touch back on communication because obviously communication plays a big part in relationships. And for some reason, people still can't seem to get it right. You know, it's still one of those things that people have trouble with.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look back then, and obviously when you said sometimes you weren't, in, you know, you didn't feel like talking about certain things or you didn't want to bring up certain things. You know, what was kind of running through your mind at that stage? Was it just like, you know, I don't care, I can't bother to explain myself? Or
probably,
you
know, with a bit of that. Yeah, it was probably, so to cut you, it was probably a bit of like, I don't care, I can't be bothered. Or, you know, like almost because you've already had that preconceived idea that that person's going to jump your throat or it's going to become an argument. It might not be, but in my head, it will be. So I've sort of gone into it with that argumentative approach as opposed to being like the laid back, okay, all right, you're not trying to, you're not personally trying to shoot me down, you just don't understand, let me try and help you understand, you know. But I think that comes with age, and I think the older you get, you start to realise that, you know, we've all got different stuff going on.
So obviously we've spoken a bit about, you know, some of the challenges that you had in your relationship with Olivia's mum. How do you think that impacted Olivia?
Definitely. The only person, and that's the sad thing, when stuff like this happens, when there's a breakdown in a relationship and there's a child involved, the only person that's really going to suffer from it all is the kid. So she would have been massively impacted by it, right? Even the security of seeing me every day, to go to see me every weekends and during the holidays, and you know, even though I try to call her at least every other day as well, it's still not enough, you know, for her.
But
I would say it would have impacted her massively.
Cool. So do you think that children who don't have that advantage of, you know, seeing their parents every day, waking up next to them, and, you know, do you think they have like a greater disadvantage in comparison to kids that do?
Possibly, I would say they do. I mean, yeah. Even though, I mean, luckily we don't live too far apart, you know, and I'm still able to see her every weekend. And when I do see her, we have, you know, a chat and I have a good relationship with her mom. So when there's a problem, she'll call me, whatever. So it is But yeah, I do think nothing beats having a mum and dad at home that's together in your unit. You're getting things done together. Like, nothing beats that, I suppose. But then I do also understand that there are people who probably have mum and dad at home and yet they just see mum and dad fighting all the time and, you know, mum's crying and dad's angry. And so I suppose there isn't, I just suppose it depends what side of the fence you sit on or what type of family, you have. You know, do you have that sort of family?
Because I would say if you believe that actually kids are at greater benefit from being at home with both the mom and dad, which I'm not saying that I agree or disagree with. I'm just trying to get your thoughts on this. Then why did you leave home?
We just had to. I think it got to a point where it just became so toxic. We just had to. It got to a point where I couldn't be with her. She couldn't be with me, you know.
So in a couple of years, how do you explain this to Olivia without coming across as, I guess, selfish?
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a part of that. So I suppose being selfish is a massive part of it. But I suppose, luckily, like the relationship that we have now, we have a very good relationship and we're able to talk about things. And every so often she would tell me about the time she remembers when me and mummy did this and that, whatever. But I do explain to her that, you know, I still care and I'm still here and I'll still do as much as I can and you're still my number one. So it's just like having those conversations, reinforcing the feelings and stuff, the emotions, I think helps. And I think sometimes you just have to, you know, if you are in a relationship, I mean, yeah, you're right. There is a chance where you could have like stuck it out and it could have worked. You don't know. But at the end of the day, I think so far it hasn't had a negative effect with me and Olivia. And then also on top of that, I know for a fact that the relationship that me and her mum has now is better. Do you know what I mean? I've moved on. She's moved on. You know, if there's a problem, she tells me.
Can you give me some examples of how it's better now than it was before?
Because she would just ask me, she would just text me and she'll ask me a question. And, you know, if I reply, if I send her a WhatsApp message, she'll get back to me straight away. Whereas before, it would take her 2 days to get back to me. Or it would be, if we have a conversation, before it would always turn into an argument. Where now, it's almost like, she listens to me. She hears what I have to say. She takes it on board and she goes on and she applies, you know, and vice versa. You know, I do the same thing with her as before. We're just always at each other's neck sort of thing.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah. And I reckon I do. Yeah. Go on.
Sorry. I was going to say that's one thing that I can definitely relate with because me and Ty's dad previously in the past as well, we were at each other's necks. And now we have so much cohesion, it's almost funny. I'm like, how are we still the same people? Is this still the same?
Yeah, exactly.
So if we were to just go back a bit, because obviously, you know, I think it's really important to, you know, as a father raising a 10-year-old daughter, I think it's really important that we kind of get some insight from you. So how would you describe your relationship with Olivia now? Because you said that you guys have a really great relationship. What are some of the things that you enjoy doing with her? And
I like doing things with her. So I like, rather than just sitting in the house and watching TV and Netflix and films, I actually like us just going for walks and, you know, playing games together. Because I realised with Olivia, those are the things she really remembers. And it also helps her. It helps her see me from. I know I can be quite strict with her, and I think the reason why I'm a bit strict with her is because I know that her mum's very relaxed with her. So I can see that when I have her, when she's around, I can just see, you know, different. I can see what she's like at times. So I think.
Sorry, just to confirm, Olivia lives with her mum, right?
Yeah.
So how often do you get to see her?
Oh, every weekend. So I pick up every weekend. I pick up at Friday, bring her back Sunday, and then I have her during the holidays. And if I can't have her, so if I'm busy or whatever, then my mum would have her. So during the 6 weeks holiday, my mum would have her for like the whole 6 weeks or for the majority of the 6 weeks. And if my mum's working, my mum's busy, my mum could work from home, but if she's busy, then my nan's not too far. So my nan would have her. But my nan would just have her for the day. She wouldn't have her for like, she would never have her overnight because she's a bit old. She's, you know, she's coming into her 90s. So Olivia could be a bit of a handful at times. So she would just have Olivia for the day, for example. Also, I have to give massive recognition because it is also down to having support from my mom, grand, like dad, and cause my mom and dad are apart as well. But my dad, if you know, he would quite happily have Olivia for a weekend as well, you know. So I think if it was just me alone, it would have been a lot harder. But it doesn't, as I said, it didn't feel difficult. It was just normal. It was just like Olivia's part of my plan. So like Friday night,
if I want to hold you back, if you were on your own and you didn't have,
it would have been a lot harder. Yeah, it would have been a lot harder. I mean, I still would have been around and I still would have done the best I can. But having, because there's been times, you know, where, you know, I've been away, I've gone on holiday or I've been busy and then my mum's gone and picked Olivia up for me and taken her down and she's been at my mum's for the weekend. So, you know, and...
You know, I think you're definitely somebody who's breaking stereotypes because generally there is a big stereotype out there around dads, particularly dads in relationships where they have splitting up with the mum, where they're not involved, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, they've just kind of bailed, they've kind of flaked out. But here you are, you know, sounding very engaged. So I definitely want us to talk more about, you know, your relationship with Olivia, you know, and also why you decided to stay involved and not do what, you know, other guys have been accused of doing necessarily.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, why I decided to stay involved, it's a hard, I just didn't, leaving just wasn't an option for me. I just couldn't picture myself or imagine myself not being involved. So it wasn't like a decision that I made. It was just something that I couldn't see myself. Like, how do you turn your back on someone that's so small, that looks up to you, that leads you, that relies on you? Do you know what I mean? It's, I mean, I know people
do
it.
What do you think about guys that do that? What are your perception of guys that do walk away from these, you know, young kids who care about them, love them?
It's very person specific because, you know, I have many friends who are single parents, right? Guys, right? And they are there 110% for their child. As in, they pick their child up every weekend. They still contribute financially. They go on holidays with their kid. So, and I know a lot of guys like that. And maybe that's because, maybe that's why I have these friends, because I'm the same way, I don't know. But I would say those guys are the sort of guys that don't really talk about how involved they are. So you might not necessarily know. You only hear about the sad stories, you know? And even with the sad stories, it's just like, if you had to think about the context of it all, you know, what was the context? Were you even together at the beginning? You know, was it planned? Not saying that, you know, you need to be or whatever, but I'm just saying, usually I know more people who are in it and helping and being a part of their child's life than I know just not part of their child's life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think being in a relationship does play a big part, you know, because I think at the end of the day, if you're in a relationship with somebody and, you know, as a woman, you become pregnant, and at that stage, if you guys agree to be parents to this child, then that is a mutual agreement. You know, whatever happens after happens after, but at that stage, you guys have come to a mutual agreement. I think if I was ever in a position where I didn't have a mutual agreement with a guy, I would. It's crazy. It's a challenging one. It's
really, it is.
It's hard because more and more women are happy to kind of, you know. You know, they're happy to do it on their own and they're happy to kind of raise children on their own. And that is amazing.
It is amazing. And I think that's the narrative. That's also the majority of the narrative. I think often it's girls who are happy to say, look, I can do this by myself. I don't need you to be involved. If you want to be involved, help. If you don't want to be involved, don't be involved. And then I know the guy should always put his foot down and be like, look, it's my child. I'm sticking around. I want to be involved. But often there's that clash, right? And then it's like, you know, then you get those who are like, it's easier for me not to be involved, you know? And who am I to say that's the right...
Is that cowardly? Because I just think to myself...
It's such a tough thing to say. Is it cowardly? Because I'm sure there are people like that out there. But maybe calling it a cowardly move is not the right word to use, but I suppose it could be seen as that. At the end of the day, if you've helped create a life, I think you should support you know, regardless. Exactly. And that's what I'd always say. But then I'll also say that every person's situation is different. And
that is true.
Sometimes it's easier, not saying that's the right thing to do either. Sometimes it's just easier to just step back and then sort of just let the mother do what she's got to do if she's 100% and you know you being around could make it worse. You know, like I've had wild stories, man.
But I've always felt like there are other ways, you know, there are other ways you can support without necessarily having to speak to the mom on the phone every day and be involved in that way. You know, like, for example, you know, if a child goes to school, you could pay the school meals, you can send food vouchers, you can send like presents, you can set up a savings account. There are so many things that I think
you should
do, even if you're like, you know, this woman drives me absolutely crazy, I don't know why I had a child with her, but I'm gonna do all of these other things for my son or for my daughter.
I agree.
So that I'm still doing my bit, and which is why I'm saying maybe it's cowardly. I'm not saying that men who don't, you know, look after their children are cowards, but I am saying it does take a certain amount of courage to be like, you know, maybe this woman wasn't the right woman for me to have a child with, or maybe I don't want to really be involved in this relationship. But, that, you know, that's my child. That's somebody that I've put on this earth. So I'm going to do the best that I can. You know, I think that's just like, you know, expected.
I agree.
Because on the other hand, you know, on the other hand, you have the mums who are doing everything.
Yes.
You know, and motherhood is not something that you kind of know before it happens. You get thrown in the deep end. And you're like, you know, going through like anxiety, and you know, there are highs, there are lows, challenges, there are all of these moments. And I think to have to experience that on your own, it is really, really difficult. The only other person that you can share that child or that experience with is the father of the child. So for me, my thing is always like, the littlest you can do, the littlest is better than nothing.
Nothing, absolutely. Yeah, and exactly. I also have friends that's literally met a girl and barely know the girl. The girl's pregnant, and yet to this very day, they're still doing as much as they can.
So what advice do you give to those friends? Because this is something that I know as girls we think about, you know, what do guys tell other guys about them, you know, some of the things that they do in the wrong way?
So
what advice do you give to friends?
So good question. So this person, this friend in particular, I just say to him all the time, just stick it out. Just keep sticking it out. Because the moment your child becomes 16, it's then... it's easier for it to be just you and this kid, like you and your son, you know, it could just, you know,
which is why I do think it's important that dads do stick it through. I agree. And I think it's also important for mums to allow the men to stick it through.
That's another thing.
Because I think as women, we are guilty of like, you know, I'm angry, I hate you, that's it. But men, you know, they grow up, they change. I think these are all the things that you were saying, like, you know, they grow up, they change, their personalities grow and all of this stuff. And then they do become different people. I've seen it with my own son's dad, so I know I'm not lying about it. And I think as women, we have to stay open-minded and be ready for like that day when it comes. And I know it's frustrating because you're thinking like, I've been doing this for the last 10 years. I've been doing this for the last 5 years, blah, blah, blah. I know. You know, like I think it was the other day when, you know, like a couple months ago, Ty's dad agreed to stay with him for more than like 2 weeks. And I was what? Honestly, and this is like, you know, these are the little things that I've been asking for more than like 5 years, but here we are. So I do really believe that you have to be, you have to persevere.
You do, absolutely. And I think it's so easy to walk away. It's so easy to take the easier route. It's, you know, but like the development of your child is the biggest like reward as far as I'm concerned. Like seeing someone come into this world with no skills and learn and become a great person through, you know, your teachings and just seeing them. I don't know. It's just the most rewarding end result. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, it is beautiful. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's just the world's so hard at the moment. Everyone's so bloody selfish and everyone's like fighting each other. And, you know, just like the one thing you can be in control of is like just being there for your kid. And it's really not that difficult. You know, if you think about like in the grander scheme of things, like, you know, what we're having to go through on a day by day, it's just like, it's not that hard. And the reason why we're finding it hard is because, you know, we're forgetting, as you said earlier, that, you know, this person's going to grow up and be an adult like you. And they're going to remember all of this. You know, they're going to be, they're going to remember the time you rocked up 10 minutes late when you said you're going to take them to Foot Park, you know? So it's like, it's just so easy, you
all
know?
The time you had an excuse for not buying them the birthday present that they asked for and you bought them like a copy.
It's so annoying. And it's like, I mean I fell victim to this at one point. You know, I was always about, for Olivia's presents, Olivia's birthday, I always wanted to buy her like the best or whatever, the this and the that. And you know, I realized very quickly all Olivia wants to do, or all she wants to do at this moment, she's just happy playing football in a park with me or just having a picnic. Great. You know, and it's, these things cost zero, you know, even going for a walk and making her a packed lunch, because she remembers that. She remembers the packed lunch that we make her, I made her and whatever. Yeah.
I have a question for you, which might be a little bit of an uncomfortable question, but let's go for it. So I think as somebody who's a mum, so I'm a mum, you know, I've got Ty, he's 13. Ty's dad is also equally engaged in his life, just like you are, in Olivia's life. And we're getting to a stage now where, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so maybe soon I might want to meet somebody, I might want to settle down. And if I do meet this person, you know, I want them to feel, to be a part of Ty's life, and I want them to maybe play that father figure role in Ty's life. So do you think about, you know, what it might mean for you and Olivia's relationship if the mum was to meet somebody else who can play that role as a father figure? And what are your general thoughts around that?
Well, the mum, her mum already met someone else. Like a year or two ago. So it's been a while now. And yeah, I haven't had any problem. I think it's only a problem if the guy's not pulling his part of the deal. Like, he's not pulling his part. As in, if you're not around for your child and you're not, you know, supporting them financially, emotionally, whatever, then I think it's easier for another guy to step in and just like do your role, right? Because you're not doing a role. You're not doing your, you know. But I think if you're still seeing your, you know, picking your child up every weekend and, you know, you do things with them, you don't just take them home and sit them in front of the TV for the whole weekend. You actually, you know, you experience things together. I think it's harder for some randomer to come in and then take your role. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, but to know, what does that mean for women who want their child to have a relationship with their dad, but then also have a relationship with their dad? So then what does that mean for them?
Yeah, I think that's healthy to want them to, I mean, what do you mean? I mean, like, call the new boyfriend dad. Is that what you mean?
Well,
is that what you mean? Or
No, maybe
I don't think that should happen. I don't think that should happen. I think,
why do you think that should not happen?
Because I think at the end of the day, he or she has one dad, and that's and you're that dad. Do you know what I mean? Or you're the mums. I think yeah, for you to have for me to have a new girlfriend and then say, okay, Olivia, from now on you've got to call her mum as well. I think I don't know. I think that's fundamentally wrong. But yeah, there should be respect, definitely. She should still respect her mum's boyfriend. But also I think it's important for him to know that, you know, you can tell her off if she's naughty or whatever, but you know, there are still boundaries, you know, and it's just, yeah, I think also me, I mean, I haven't met him, but I haven't. It's just you know, it wasn't a decision that I've made. It was just something that someone said to me once. They were like, oh, have you seen have you met your ex's new partner? And I was like, I haven't actually, and it's been a while. And it's not because it's not weird. It doesn't because he seems like a nice guy. Do you know what I mean? Okay. So he seems like, so my mum, funny enough, my mum's met him.
Judgment. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Is that
my mum's
picked up Olivia or?
I think they had like a gathering at one point and she brought him along. That's right. Yeah. That was what happened. So I'm just trying to remember what happened. I didn't get an invite. I was actually really annoyed about this. So something happened. It was like a gathering. Yeah, it was a gathering, and then I never got an invite, which is fine. It bothered me, but I didn't get an invite. And I think that's where my mum met him, and my brothers met him as well.
Okay.
And he seems nice, yeah. And I think up until that point, I think, you know, I moved on, so I would, and it makes my life easier as well, knowing that she's moved on as well. Do you know what I mean?
Elaborate.
Because knowing that, you know, if I've moved on and knowing that Olivia's mum's moved on and, you know, she's happy, I'm happy. We don't have that. So we're not at loggerheads, you know, where we're sort of like she's still trying to find someone. Because I think that makes it a little bit more difficult as well when you haven't yet moved on or the other person hasn't moved on, but you have, and it's having to deal with that.
What if the other person is just over you and they're not interested? It's not always about moving on. I think sometimes relationships do come to an end, and the, you know, what happens in the dynamic maybe when one person is over it, but the other person still, you know, wants that relationship.
That's the problem, though. I think that's often the problem, because if two people have broken up and one person wants the other person just moved on, I think it becomes that resentment.
Okay.
Because.
And do you think?
Yeah.
No, go on. I want to hear more about this resentment, and then I want to ask you a question about the resentment.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think the resentment comes from wanting someone you can't have. Mm. And it could be for the guy, it could be from the girl, but I just think when both parties have moved on and they're both happy, it just makes life for everyone a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know why that is. I just think it does.
No, I agree, because it's all that emotional attachment. It just kind of goes, isn't it? I agree. Yeah. And I definitely feel like, even from my own experience, it did get easier in certain moments when, yeah, Ty's dad did have new relationships. So I can definitely agree.
And sorry, just one more thing to add. I forgot to add this earlier. And moving on in a healthy way, not just moving on for the sake of moving on, like a rebound. No, that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking moving on because time has passed. You found someone that you're connected to. You want to grow together. That person's, you know, the yin to your yang. That's sort of moving on I'm referring to. Yeah.
All right, Jay. So it is Father's Day this weekend. So what are your plans? You know, what are you and Olivia going to be getting up to?
But there's not much we can do. You know, normally we'll go to a
restaurant. That is true.
Yeah. Exactly. Normally we'll go to a restaurant or something, or, you know, but I think, yeah, probably just, it'll be a normal day, really. Just go for a walk, or we might go to the park, cook dinner. I think she's still quite young, you know, she's only 10 and stuff. So, like, it's not, Father's Day is not a massive day for me. I don't see it as like, oh, God, we'll just do something together. I'll probably just have dinner and then just go to the park or something.
It's been really, really nice catching up, Jay. And obviously you're somebody that I have respected for a long time as a dad. You're somebody that, you know, without self-disclosing any names or anything, that I do compare you to other dads. I'm like, well, look at him. He does this, he does that. Yeah,
there are lots of dads like me, honestly. I know I have many friends that will put me to shame with what they can do, you know. But I think you just have to be the best just do the best you can and just always try and think bigger picture. What's the bigger picture here? It's your child, you know, that's the end goal. So
I love it, because obviously we're trying to kill stereotypes. So yeah. I'm really glad that you were able to come on today and share your story and give a true reflection of a father who's actually, you know, taking responsibility. Because I know that there are dads who are taking responsibility and who are actively involved. So we really want to be able to give you guys that voice and be able to kind of, you know, silence those stereotypes. So thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been great.
No problem at all.
Have you enjoyed it?
No, I have. Yeah, it was good. It was good doing this. We should do this again. I don't know what other topic we'll talk about, but yeah, it's good.
There's loads we could talk about. Don't worry, I'll help you with that. Like, there's loads we could talk about. This is like endless. This is just like one out of so many other things that we can tackle. So yeah, if you're up for it, I'm up for it, and we'll definitely put something in a diary.
Yeah, I will be, definitely.
And that's it for today's show. If you'd like to share your story, email us hello@sassysinglemoms.com or get in touch on Instagram @sassy_singlemoms. You can also find us on all podcast platforms